Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're again grateful for the privilege of coming together in a place that has been dedicated unto the worship of you and the instruction of the word, Lord, according as how we believe it has been set forth in this last hour, hoping and praying, Lord, that our thinking is one with the great reflection the prophet brought upon us, Lord, and brought to us, that we might give back to you what has been ministered to us, not only in word, but may also in spirit and in truth and in deed, Lord God. We're looking to you to help us. We are not praying, Lord, just for something to say, but we're praying, Lord, because we know this is what we want, this is what we have to have, so we look to you, Lord, and may grace be fulfilled in these lives here in every one present, O God, and we carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we won't take too long tonight because it's really the main reason is for communion foot washing, and I want to go into 1 Corinthians again, and we'll go to the 11th chapter, Paul speaking on the Lord's Supper, and he's speaking here, of course, on the revelation, and he said, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you." This, in other words, is an exact revelation that's on par with, actually it's a part of, the entire revelation of the gospel that is before us, that Paul brought, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, or proclaim the Lord's death till he cometh." In other words, like a preaching by by example rather than precept. Of course, they'd have to know the precept later. "There, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation or judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And you'll notice a judgment. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned or judged with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come together unto not come together under condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come." Now, what we want to do is go into this from the message that Brother Branham brought on discerning the Lord's body. And we'll take about 14 points, of which we'll just take a few tonight. And what we're looking at here is always the negative. And the negative is what I do not like. Because, as I said many years ago, and I suppose I'm the oldest one here without supposing I jolly well am, add several together, and that takes care of me. But look, back in the hungry 30s, and you're getting the same thing now, everybody knows what's wrong, but nobody has an answer. See, everything is negative, negative, negative. We could go into this and go negative, 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 negative. Now, if you tell a lie, don't come here and take the cup. Well, certainly you shouldn't, but you shouldn't tell lies either. Now, there's always the negative. Now, look, it comes back to this. If you're doing something wrong, you're going to get sick. Now, if you're doing something wrong, and that spirit is in the church of incriminating evil, so that the people partaking of the Lord's Supper do not really discern the Lord's body and know what is going on, and everybody hides the sin, then the church and the blood is covering the sin and the cancer spreads, and nobody gets healed, nobody gets help, and the church goes down the drain. So we're never saying at any time, "Well, look, you can take the cup of the Lord and then do what you want in the meantime." Nobody ever said that. Now, of course, I go along and I say, certainly this is proclaiming the Lord's death, period. Now, there's nothing you can add to or to take from it. There's no way you can change the Word of God. This is emblematic or typical of the death that He shed by the broken body and the shed blood. Now, you can't change it. I don't care who it is. If a prophet stood before me and tried to change it, I'd laugh in his face. I'd say, "I'm sorry. You got the wrong guy. You got to be a phony prophet." Because that's what it says. Now, if that's what it says, that's what it says. Now, it does say in here that there's something about the Lord's body that when you do this, you are bringing a problem into the church and a problem upon yourself. Now, that's what I expressed a minute ago. When the people do not judge as you're supposed to judge yourself, repent of conditions that exist within our bosoms, repent of conditions which are in the church, wanting to rectify them, then it's just like the person in adultery in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, where the church did not put him out and turn him over to Satan. And so a cancer lay in the church. Now, sin flourishes in a church. Now, we can preach that, and we know that's true, but that's a negative. The point is, how do you come to the place where you discern the Lord's body? See what I'm saying? I took you back 40 years ago. Well, I hate to tell you that. I took you back 50 years ago and we have a few more at it. I was 69 right away, and I was 16 years old. I was 15 when the thing hit. So, all right. I knew even then, everybody could tell you what's wrong. But nobody could give you an answer. Now I can go to a clinic and get my body thoroughly examined and everything about it. I can send my hair into Dr. Rick and I can send my blood into this guy and that guy and run to this x-ray and that ray and say, well, now Brother Vale or Reverend Vale, you got this wrong and that wrong. And I say, well, hey, here I am fixed up. They say, it doesn't work that way. Well, if that's all the Bible is, show it up. Get rid of it. I don't need the Bible. I didn't need the Bible to give me a guilty conscience. I already had one. Old Dr. Conan tells of how a little girl, well, they made a test religiously one day. And this was in Chicago. So they went down to the slum area, man, where the kids' hands were dirty and their feet were dirty and they came in little raggedy clothes. And so this person put a beautiful white Easter lily out on a beautiful white cloth and in the window. And a little girl came by and I don't know when her mother had given her a bath or anybody else knew for that matter, I guess. And she was raggedy-taggedy and dirty. Her hands were dirty. Her feet were dirty. Her hands especially were dirty. And she stood before the lily, and suddenly she looked at her hands, and she put them behind her back. That kid didn't need the Bible to tell her anything. She already knew she was messed up. Well, what do you do with the kid? Well, he said, give her back. All right? How do you get to discerning the body so that people get healed, the church goes on? Now, that's a big question. See? We got a bunch of legalists. No matter what you tell a legalist, he always twists it and changes and warps it. Because he's a legalist, it must be negative. Oh, everybody's got sin. Everybody's got sin. Oh, mercy. I know why I preach. I get so mad there's no need to preach anymore. I get so fed up, so steamed up with this negativity. I'm going to tell you one thing. From now on, I'm not interested in answering anybody's questions in any other church but this one. Ripping the phone off the wall. I mean, getting rid of everything but the people around me. And you better ask proper questions. I'll get rid of you too. Because the legalism is the death of hell. I don't believe in taking liberties with God. No way, shape, and form. But neither do I believe in a man standing up as though he ever was somebody or will be somebody outside of meritorious grace of Jesus Christ. If all was the negative, you can never give him an answer. Well, we're going to give answers tonight by the grace of God from Reverend William Branham himself. 14 points. Discerning the Lord's body. Now, he starts right off the way everybody else starts off. And he starts off on the premise, none of us should come to the table, Lord, and be in sin. Now, you read that as a negative, and you go right down the road. All right. Everybody should be born again to take the table, Lord, number one. And before you're born again, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got any doubt about your baptism, then don't take this communion. You're forbidden. Now, is that hard? Is that negative? No, there's a positive. We'll take you right down to the creek now. Does anybody here not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ wants communion? I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that wants communion and foot washing tonight? Raise your hand. Let's get rid of everything. Don't worry about little kids. Their hands are up. But see, they got more guts than your folk. Take little children to lead them.
Now, if you haven't been baptized, right, I've got deacons right here. We got towels. We got a creek. Now, some of us got to lie down in the water and make enough water rise to get you under. We'll put you under. Now, we've corrected number one. Right? Okay, let's look at corrections. Let's not look at the negative.
Okay.
Now, this is how people get out of all their problems. They get all of their problems by getting positive. You can't get anywhere knowing that you came in the wrong direction. You have got to look in the right direction. If you've been going wrong, get your map out and peruse it and find out how to go right. So, all right, you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. The next thing is, if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, the thing is to ask God for the Holy Ghost because you've been baptized, right? Brother Branham said, which everybody else says, you don't need a prophet to tell. He's already been said, if you do those first two things, God will do the third. And remember, it is without an evidence. There's something you can look at and put your finger on, talk in tongues, and do a hula hoop or something. Which is all right. I've got nothing against those things. What I got's against the native. All right, conduct. Now, he said, you have got to be living an overcoming life. And that is exactly right. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did not the prophet still say, and said after the seals, you backslide 1,000 times a day? Now, answer me, yes or no, did he say it? And he said it. Well, just a minute now. Nobody takes communion. Not even the prophet. What's it all about? All right. Maybe I don't have an answer. Did the prophet say get rid of all the Christmas trees? Did he or did he not? Right. Then how come on his way home there's a Christmas tree waiting for him? I'm not trying to run the prophet down. Oh, I'd get the Branham family, everybody upset right about this time. Oh, and all the people that try to make something outside the Word of God. Let's get it flat. There's nobody preaches anybody to enter into sin. Nobody. Any preacher that does is no more full of the Holy Ghost than a sow is. Nor willfully making an object of himself to lead people into sin. That man has no more Holy Ghost than a telephone pole. And he can prophesy day and night like Balaam, but he led Israel into sin and no more had the Holy Ghost than nothing. Now, so we're not looking at the negative. I'm just telling, bringing these things up. Now, what is it? The scripture says he judges himself. You don't walk there and say, well, hey, it's okay, I got away with that. It's all right, I can do these things. There isn't one of us but understands that if the Holy Ghost, before he came in, convicted you of sin, how much more will he convict you if you're wrong when he heals you? All right? But they want to get negative. So nobody wants to believe, well, this fella here, he's not perfect, but you see, I'm going to be perfect. And I'll do it. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never take communion. You'll never take foot washing because either you're perfect in Jesus Christ on one level, which is your standing. How many heard the old doctor stating standing? Well, we got one or two. No doubt my wife heard it from me. Where'd you hear it from, Norm? Okay. Stating standing. Do you know that your standing before God is the same as Jesus Christ, but your state may be pretty raunchy? Why? Because your flesh. But you know that Jesus Christ died to take care of your flesh as well as your soul and your spirit. All right. We're not looking then anymore at anybody wanting to go out and sin. If you're wanting to go out and sin, and you can't wait to get out and sin, and you're trying to find a way to sin and get by with it, let me tell you something. Don't bother coming here tonight. You're going to mess us up. See? But if you want to live for Christ, there's a hunger in your soul reaching out. As the woman said. She said, I sure ain't what I want to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. Now, if you're reaching out to God, I don't care what your pastors or anything else your future might be. You have a representative in heaven. Now, let's get this flat. If I was to come tonight in my own perfection, then I don't need an intermediary or an intercessor. I just blew his job for him. Now, I use pretty vulgar language, and I know there is very, very ungrammatical and very uncouth, and some would think, well, you're very badly veiled to talk the way you do because, you know, you should be nice and sweet and say beautiful words. Look, my words are sweet and they are beautiful because I'm trying to bring the case to the point. See? Now, look, there's not one of us wants to be doing the things we do. But I'm going to tell you something. Your prayers may be answered in a way that you never, ever dreamed your prayers would be answered. And one day you'll wake up to the fact that you were just the way God wanted you. So that you would cling to Him and still have to go to the cross. And I'm not opening the door to anybody to go out and roll in the mud. Because if you roll in the mud and we find out delivered, we have every right and must bring you before the church and excommunicate you. See, willful sin is entirely different from people who are trying to live a life and are dedicated to attempting to serve Almighty God. Now, let's get down to nitty-gritty. So Brother Branham was asked the question. He said, Brother Branham, can you withhold the Lord's Supper from anybody? Well, he said, he sort of hemmed and hawed about it. Not really, but you know what I mean, beat around the edge of it. And he came back and he said, if there was a man running with women, gross immorality. Well, let me tell you something. You catch a guy thieving. That's the same as having adultery. What's the difference between thieving and adultery? Sin is sin, no matter who it's in. No matter what you call it, it's all an attribute of unbelief. What is the guy pulling all kinds of deals out there, robbing banks and stealing? And he willfully does it. And the man willfully lying, and he willfully does it. You've got to kick him out too. You've got to excommunicate him. So all right, the number one precept is this. A person is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having repented, and having been filled with the Holy Ghost, he is a partaker, and he is absolutely not only not denied, but he is commanded to drink of that cup. All right, now, what if that person has been exposed? He's still commanded to drink. And when he does, he drinks condemnation, a judgment right to himself right there. All right, look it. Somebody said, well, look, my dear buddy, you're not supposed to drink that cup. But the Bible says you are supposed to drink it. Now, what does it mean? It simply means that there lies before us a means of examination, which is in ourselves. I don't stop you, and you cannot stop me. But we examine ourselves. Lord, are we doing anything which is absolutely contrary to the Word of God that we know is contrary to the Word of God? Are we doing those things that are wrong and not resisting evil? Now, if you're resisting evil, that's a different thing than rolling along with it. In other words, if a person gives up and says, well, I don't believe I'll ever be an overcomer or ever this or ever that, that man absolutely has disqualified himself because he can only come on the grounds that he has within him the ability through the grace and help of God to overcome. See? So let's get all this negative junk out of the air. You say, why, Brother Bill? Because I don't care who I deal with from the outside, they always run back to their church negative, negative, negative. And I'm just tired of negativity. I want to see those people who positively are so careful. Well, Brother Dale, if somebody does so-and-so, I would like to examine their lives under a microscope for 48 hours. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd like you to want to vomit because Brother Branham said, the thoughts of men's hearts speak louder in heaven than the words on their lips. And so when I find someone come along with negativity, I wonder just what that guy's got in here. A negative, rotten spirit from hell. That's all I can see. It twists and turns everything. Why not just come straight to the Word of God and understand here, look, positively we know that nobody living in premeditated and premeditated sin and in indifference toward Almighty God has any right to that cup or to that bread. And there's no right even for washing feet amongst us because that is out. All right. Number one is conduct. Now, as soon as Brother Brown spoke of conduct and said a Christian ought to be exemplary in his life, that's absolutely true. How exemplary can you be? You show me one sinner that can judge correctly your status in Christ and what you do in Christ. You get one woman and one father of any teenage boy or girl and see that teenage boy or girl dedicate to Christ and want to serve on a mission field, especially the boy or the girl, marry some fine young boy and go out there and struggle with him. And father and mother say, well, if that's Christianity, now let me put you right. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you drink blood out of a skull, talk in tongues, and commit adultery around the altar, or whether you live as virtuous as Jesus Christ himself, you are not going to get a sinner to ever judge right. All right, so I'm not going to worry about the sinner. I'm going to wash him plumb out of my hair because he cannot discern. Now, I say, Brother Branham went into this when he brought in a sinner called a lawyer named Greenwall or somebody in New York, and he said, two boys of the Bowery were told by God to go down and open up a church. Then some bigwigs saw the land in New York, and they said, we can use this land. They bought everybody up with these two little guys. Now, those two little guys were brought into court because they wanted to buy the land. And they said, no way. So the big lawyer got up and he said, why wouldn't you sell this land? Those little humble boys that didn't know wonderful language like Lord, they said, well, the Lord told us to buy it and to keep it. And he goes up and he said, we'll have no Lord in this court. And so within a few days, his plane tried to duck under a bridge and it didn't duck under the bridge. It ducked in the water and he got killed. And Brother Brown said, he would have liked to have the Lord at that time. Well, that's a good illustration. But the point is this. Has a sinner or a make-believer, or anyone else ever discerned? Now, they can't discern, right? Then the thing is this, who does discern? The Christian who's really born again. He's the only one that can discern. So now we've got this business of the sin question. The sin cannot be allowed in the church because it will form a cancer. Neither should anybody, knowing he is in deliberate sin, do these things. But if he is fighting and praying and trying to overcome, that person, as far as I am concerned, and Brother Branham said that he's out there with women in real gross immorality, like knocking banks over and messing with women, raping God knows what, he's allowed to come. That takes care of that. Number two, we find out no sinner ever could discern. That takes care of him. All right then, who's going to discern? The born-again believer. Now, the other fellow that's not born again, he's going to look around and try to mess everybody up. There's no two ways about it. That's his job. He's going to think he can discern. He's going to think he's got an ability. So, all right, let's start in with our discerning. Number one, we go to doctrine. All right, we go to doctrine. That's where Brother Branham took us, right off the bat in discerning the Lord's body. Okay, what about doctrine? Do you know this? What right have you got to talk about the Lord's death and partake of the emblems if you're off the very doctrine? Because, you see, he is the Word. The bleeding Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word that was made flesh was crucified. Now, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. In other words, it was an actual manifestation of God himself. And that life of God put into a human form that they killed and crucified, broke the body, shed the blood. And the reason they killed him was not because of what he did. It was because of what he said, because of what he believed. Now, the Bible said categorically that if you change the word of God one iota, adding to it, you get the plagues, taking from it, your name is out of the book. One word changed the entire destiny of mankind. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, they don't know the doctrine. Therefore, there's no discerning. All right, we stand for doctrines like serpent's teeth, and the great mighty high monkey mucks come in with their robes of righteousness bound around them like the Pharisees that they are, and they look down their nose and say, serpent's teeth. What do you think? Eve copulated with a beast. Well, honey, you don't know much about pornography. I don't either. But I read where judges are bringing people into court. And I read articles where little kids are being abused. And I read articles all the time where men and women copulate with animals, which God said was an abomination. They should be destroyed, both of them. Where did it come from? I'd like to ask Mr. Self-Righteousness, where did it come from? It came out of the church. Yes, the Garden of Eden was a church. Because you're going to get back to a whole church when the bride's together. She's the temple. Because in New Jerusalem, there is no need of a temple. She She houses, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ, which He is, the great pillar of fire, Almighty God, Holy Spirit above. But where did it all come from? See? So therefore, when you talk about discerning the Lord's body, you are going to have to go where the prophet went. And when you go where the prophet went, it's going to determine whether you have a right to take the elements or not. Now, all right, first of all, we don't have conduct among us. We're figuratively trying to sin. If you are, that's all right. It'll catch up one of these days. There'll be a showdown. The axe will have to fall. You say, how come? Because you'll be confronted. Because no man can successfully hide sin. It's like oil. It'll eventually leak out. Believe me, there is no seal that finally will not leak under pressure. It may take a bit of wearing, but it'll get there. So don't think there won't. All right? We're dealing with each other now. Because only discernment can come amongst us. So this is up, this is for us. Doctrine. Where do we go in doctrine? Now you know as well as I do that we've had our troubles with doctrine. And you know as well as I do, it's very plainly spoken that there cannot be two heads in one place. Nor could Brother Branham have a head over him. There is no way except the head being over him and God. All right. You have to get in line with the doctrine. And if a person is off in doctrine, the thing is this. Does anybody stop him from taking the Lord's Supper? Well, you say, well, that's up for grabs because who knows what's right? We know what is right. For the first time, we know what is right. See? Now, you and I agreeing together to know what is right does not make it right. It is what the prophet said. And remember, the light has to go back to the Word every single time. And I'm going to say again and again, I don't care what my colleagues think, and I don't care what anybody thinks in Jeffersonville or Tucson or God knows where, I care less. I am going to take everything the prophet said back to the Bible for my own satisfaction, to know that I'm seeing the same things that he is seeing and why he's seeing. I don't care anybody else does, that's your business. See? They can institute communion the way they want, or Lord's Supper the way they want it. But the doctrine is for the believer. The man outside hasn't got one inkling about our doctrine. Now, you know there's a big hoop-de-doo about the doctrine of the presence. Now, there's a man out in, I can play his tape, I must bring the tape. It's by John Martin, so you know who preaches anyway. So he stumbles over the word puke, he calls it puke, then he turns around and says he's been preaching it for 29 years. For 29 years, he's been preaching puke. I'm going to tell you something. You say, that's a motion. Who's going to take, who's in, who is going to go ahead and take the Lord's Supper? I don't care who takes it. But let me tell you one thing. If your doctrine is wrong, you haven't discerned the body, according to Brother Branham. We don't bring doctrines to the outside. We don't have three gods. There never has. There have been three gods. Never will be three gods. See, there can't be. There's just one God. He's Spirit. The Bible said so. No two ways about it. So what about doctrine? Doctrine must be right. Now you say, just a minute, I'm going to keep that man from taking communion because I know something's wrong with him. And that's right. In what direction? Oh, you say, well, I know the fella did something that I wouldn't do. That, what about your believing doctrine? What about your dress code? That's part of doctrine. I'm not saying now, I'm not going to be a clothesline preacher for women either. But there is such a thing as a dress code amongst men and women both. Sometimes the men think, well, it's only for women. I got nurseries for men also. Brother Brand said just as much about men with long hair as women with short hair. Except he had the lineage a little bit longer on the women with the short hair because they started that ball rolling a long time ago. They set us down. All right. We come conduct. The true servants of God. Who are they? How to take a Christian to know that? Nobody else would know. They can't discern who they are. They can't discern a Christian. Christians should discern Christians. Sheep should know sheep. Doctrine. The Bible said to walk as one mind. Brother Branham said when the bride gets one mind, she get out of here. He said 10 people in one place is one mind, she get out of here. Now the bride's going to have one mind. What do you mean? She's going to know exactly the word of God for her hour and for her position. Now, I don't expect anybody is going to know the Word like a prophet. I'll never know the Bible like Brother Branham. I don't intend to even begin to know the Word of God like Brother Branham. There's no two ways about it. I never will know it because I'm not a prophet. I keep telling you people how I have to struggle. I look at a thing. The way I preach, I should preach once every 4 months. It would take me 4 months of constant study and planning to put one message up. But instead, I put 30 or 40 up, whatever might be necessary. Well, in 4 months, I'd preach what? Twice a week. That's 16, 32, many of 32 messages. I could take 32 messages on one subject, as it were, one theme, and be aiming on that one subject and aiming. And at the end of the 15th or 20th, I may zero in and say, now I've got it. What about the rest? I was never wrong. Not the doctrine. Brother Branham categorically said he never ever changed his doctrine. But I know he changed. What did he change on the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He never changed his doctrine. He changed the understanding of the evidence. Why, he said, I used to believe it was love. He said, it's not love. He said, believing the word for the hour. So therefore, we cannot understand doctrine perfectly. But if our doctrine is right, and it will be right if we're blind, because the Holy Ghost in us cannot be receiving something that the Holy Spirit himself, per se, as the person, was teaching, so that the anointing on our minds, from within the soul to the spirit, would accept anything but from the great anointer himself. Now remember, anointing and anointer in our case is not the same thing. Remember, God the anointer was in the anointed, Jesus Christ. Now God the anointed is not within us who are anointed. Only a modicum. Just like a little breath that he breathed on us. See? Alright. There would not be then any major difference. There might be little things here and little things there. But we would all believe in the doctrine. Now, let's understand this. How come the majority of dissenters within this message, who want to fight amongst our ranks and run down everybody under high heaven, invariably start with number one, predestination? Now, Brother Branham himself categorically says so. I'm not sure whether it's in the, does a man can turn on the light or the transformation. I'm not sure. I think it may be in transformation. He brings out that people stumble over predestination. I'm going to tell you something. And many people go right to the front, and they're very happy to scream, oh, what a great life I live. Oh, what a great servant of God I am. I believe the Branham message. And they turn their backs on predestination. They have no right at that table. Let's face it, that's negative. All right? You're struggling. You know who Christians are. You know who the bride is. You got an understanding, the servants of God. You know the doctrine. What's to stop you? Now you see, for every balance, there's a counterbalance. Every pull, there's a counterpull. For every truth, there's a lie. For every lie, there's a truth. See? All right? I'm not going to have any doctrine because they don't need you. Let's go a little further. Do people know the hour in which they live? Brother Bannon said, all the time looking back at the glory, all the time looking to the future, not knowing what's going on. All right. Do you know the hour in which you live? Now you see, you look at me mystified. There's nothing to it. The hour of Elijah. Revelation 10 and 7 and Revelation 10 and 1. The seventh seal. Getting ready for the 8th day. Some people want to preach 8th day now as though there's an 8th day and they're in it and they got an 8th messenger. Hogwash, clap, trap, and balderdash. Never heard such corruption. Amen. The 8th day is when the millennium sets in. What are you talking about? But we've already started into it. Oh, let me tell you something, Brother Cedar. People are all so messed up in their minds mentally, you can't get them out of your tribe. But I want to tell you something. Before you complete a journey, you got to start it. We're in process. Oh, how they hate that. They hate a process. See? They don't know the hour in which they're living. The hour when God is putting everything under the feet of Jesus. And he himself will not be put under his feet. He will put himself into that body. The hour we're living in. Now who knows that? Now if we don't know, we can't take it. Except we take it in faith and say, dear Lord God, there's lots of things here in the mystery the prophet said, but I'm going to be bold to come to you by faith that you're going to help me. But the question is tonight, who is allowed to come to the table of the Lord? Now, if you don't know the hour in which we live, you won't know the difference between the appearing and the coming. And Brother Branham categorically states, there is a coming at the time of the coming. Yeah, I'll get it for you. Oh, you think it's a tongue twister? And say, well, blah, 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 mistake. He didn't make a mistake. Because he's already come in order to take us up there with him so we can come back with him. For the Lord himself shall descend with the shout with the voice of the arcane trump of God. And Brother Branham said that the message that that one brought down was the very message he proclaimed. And he said it was lip to ear. Going up, you haven't got that tape, have you? That was distributed. We got that home somewhere yet? The Brother Branham sent me? Or the great big PG keep it? Okay, let's find it for him. I'll see you in the bank there. Pray for it. I'm not rough and uncouth. I just got my stomach full, that's all. When you want to belch and it doesn't come up, you just find ways to do it. Appearing and coming. Now, Brother Branham said there's a difference between the two. That's the hour we're living in. That's what he said on this tape. They don't know the difference. He said that's where they're all gone haywire. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the difference between the appearing and the coming? He said he appeared on the river. He's appeared in signs and wonders. Why is the revelation titled the revelation? What is Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, but the whole book of Revelations? In the element of revealing him. What is Ephesians all about? But to let you know the hour in which you live. Now the question comes up, do you know the hour in which you live? Are you satisfied? I've been preaching on it. The day of the Lord. Tomorrow morning, we'll do a little more of it. Catch up. Is this what consumes your time and your energy? Let me tell you something. There's too much ho-hum about this whole thing. And that discredits anybody taking the cup of the Lord. Oh, you say, well, Brother Vail, I thought the man had to be rolling with women or something. Or go out and get drunk. I've got news for you. You are just as guilty on this side. And I'm not preaching negative. I'm showing you the positive. You might not think I am, but I am. Because, you see, I don't believe anybody here is an abject sin. You'll have to answer that yourself. I believe you know here who true servants of God are. And Brother Branham said, check them out by their motive. Find out what spirit's in that preacher. Does he want our women? Does he want our money? Does he want our church? What does he want? I've not wanted any of that stuff from you, you know it. I want a little church to preach. If this doesn't work, I'll go home and preach my wife. She's a nice kid. She's crazy as I am. I'm not crazier. She'll listen. Might even get her daughter coming up. Never know. See? Okay, what about conduct? What about knowing the servants of God? What about your doctrine? Are you aware of the times in which you live? Can you discern them? Do you really know what is going on? Are you sold and satisfied that this is it? Are you sold and satisfied this message William Branham brought is a forerunner of the coming? It's a part of the threefold principle of the descent, shout, voice, rapture, wedding supper, the trumpet. Now, if you're not sold on it, what about these guys out there drinking? They're drinking condemnation themselves. Don't you understand what they're doing? The bride is the only group that doesn't drink condemnation. But you've got a bunch of negatives around the country. I'm going to tell you some of these negatives. I don't believe they're born again in the first place. If I had to put up with some of these preachers, got to put up with calling themselves pastors, I'd get out right now. You folk go negative and sour on me, I can tell you one thing. Don't bother coming back. I'll just be honest. Don't bother, because you've got no time with me and I've got no time with you. Let's face it. Just like I'll never sit down with Rose Miller and eat him burger, cheese, and onions. Forget it. Forget it. Your own husband won't even do it. That's the way I feel. Just that simple. Just that easy. Because you make a joke. I'm not making a joke of anything. I'm just telling you exactly the way it is. Eh? All right. We'll take one more. We'll quit at this. The evidence of the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Out there, everybody believes in an evidence contrary to us. And they're taking the Lord's Supper. They're drinking condemnation. They're going to be judged for it because their testimony of the birth and body and the blood signifies they're saying we understand what the evidence is. You live in abject sin and drink this wine, eat this bread, and say, I know what it's all about. You're a liar. It has to refer to the killing of sin, the death of sin. Christ dying that you might come alive and away from sin. And a man come on the scene and says, well, he can't discern who the servants of God are and who's really a true Christian. What's he got? See? A man that's out of his doctrine. What's he got? A person doesn't know the hour. What's he got? A person says he's got the Holy Ghost and names off some kind of baptism. You show me where the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost as preached by anybody outside of us will qualify you on the first 4 points I mentioned. You can't do it. One fellow says it's love. Show me where love fills that one. Show me where love covers it. One man says, well, it's a great fruit. You show me where that is it. One fellow says it's character. Show me that. Another man says it's mighty gifts and signs of wonder. Show me that. Another fellow says it's soul winning. Show me that. But I can show you when you understand the evidence of having received the Holy Ghost is believing the word for this hour, you'll qualify in all the rest. Where you stand, and you're standing right with God. The true evidence of the true baptism. What's a true baptism? People come on the scene saying nobody's got a true baptism. Now, Brother Branham's come on the scene, and they're going to have a true baptism now. That's not it at all. He just tells you whether you got a true baptism. And he said, there's people sitting right here in Jeffersonville. He said, I believe the majority of have got the Holy Ghost in the token. But he said, there's some who haven't. You can tell right there, the phony ones. They made a break for the door. You know why? Because he said, put the church in order and get the gifts in the room. They made a break for the door. Ran like scalded dogs to get some old dead herring or something. Dead Brother Branham stood up for him. Somebody said, you go to Junior Jackson, you go to the dead birds. I never said that in heaven yet. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Look where it is today. Women cut the hair. Hold the book up and say, I believe it right. If Brother Branham were here, he'd admit I was wrong. He was wrong and I was right. Hogwash. Did I admit Junior Jackson's right the day I've gone to hell with bells on? Let's get her straight. The evidence of the true baptism is believe the word for the hour. A true baptism, my brother, my sister, will keep you in that word. Nothing else matters. You say, well, what about the fact that a man could sin? I didn't say one thing about sin. A man's in the true word. He'll get out of sin. A man got a true word, he'll know. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it's very long until you really will know who's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do in that great day if we're all living and sour old guys like me suddenly turn so sweet you can't stand me? That's going to happen. I don't care what anybody says. You can sit here and anybody can laugh and do what you want. I got news here. That's thus saith the Lord. The prophet said so. He said, that spirit's coming to the church and God witnessed to my heart I'd have it. You say, how do you know? I don't know nothing. But I sure know him. See, the evidence of true baptism. True evidence of true baptism. Okay? Oh, they're still back in Pentecost with the kooky ideas. Get rid of your kooky ideas. That's how much Holy Ghost you got. I'll tell you, dude, we'll take every man in this church here and give you a chance to the pulpit. Let's see what you tell the people. You're on the pulpit? Let's sit down and you tell the people. You be their counselor. We can check you out in 15 minutes whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. You don't have to speak 1,000 words or 4 million words or preach 16,000 sermons. We'll just see where you go in the first 5 minutes with the word. You say, I don't believe it's that good. I believe it is. It's better than that. Because by your words you're condemned, or by your words you're justified. See, even the mute testimony to the gospel of the death of Jesus Christ stands right before us as we partake. Take the bread. Take the wine. See? Now nobody here is perfect. Not one of us. Outside of the stand which you have in our Lord Jesus Christ, our standing with Him. Our state sometimes doesn't live up to it. What do you do about Brother Branham's own brother? Smoking and drinking, running with women. Brother Branham said, categorically born again, an absolute child of God, called to be minister, wouldn't fulfill the vows to God, wouldn't go and preach. So Howard kept on getting sick and sick and sick. And every time Brother Branham walked in the room, Howard got better, because Howard had that kind of faith in his brother. That's the kind of faith to have. I think Howard knew who his brother was, Elijah, which was to come. Well, you say, how could a man like that know? You mind your own business. How much do you know about it? Brother Branham walked in that room, Howard get healed every time. But one day God said, your brother won't be here. So Howard said, get up my best clothes, had them all cleaned up. He said, I'm going to go. They said, you won't. He said, but I will, he said. He was gone. Brother Branham said, God cleaned him up and took him home. If I don't believe in a God like that, then you don't believe that God Almighty will judge you if you take this wrong. So how's he going to judge me? He's going to whip me around, make me a little bit sick. See? I'm trying to bring you to the point here. If you got, well, do you understand what I'm saying here now tonight, brother, sister? And we're getting to where the real discernment of that body is, what's really going on in this hour. You don't have one bit of fear to partake of the emblems which are set before you. And when you lose your fear, that's when your faith goes into action. And when your faith goes into action, that's when people get healed and people get help. They can't get any other way. You've got to put your fear behind you. And you've got to have a reason for putting your fear behind. You've got to have a way to put your fear behind you. And I'm going to tell you, the only way to get rid of the fear of not paying your bills is to have money in the bank to pay them. The only way to get rid of your fear of not having food on the table is to get food on that table. And the only way to get rid of any fear when it comes to the table of God here is to go through the motions. And what's the motion? We'll ask the question. Are you living in a certain type of sin? Well, you say, Brother Vail, I like to skirt around certain things. That's all right. There's one of us doesn't like to skirt around those certain things you're talking about, too. But the point is, one day we've got to meet him head on. That's right. Brother Brand said that you've got to skin yourself. It's good to skin yourself to get there. Nobody in this pulpit or any place else that I know wants to teach anything about man sinning and do what he wants to do. But I'm just telling you one thing. And that is this. You can get so negative that pretty soon you and nobody else will dare to come near this table. And you put one thing in there and you might have 18 things right out of 19. But the devil's going to take everything he can to destroy your faith and to knock you on the head. Now the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another. It tells you right there. Now that means that the revelation must be completely lined up, and we're going into revelation. Then it says you will walk in the light and the blood cleanses. And I want to ask you a question. If you're walking in the light, the man comes along, he said, if you're walking in the light, will you sin? The answer is yes, you will sin even though you walk in the light. Otherwise, how will the blood cleanse you from unrighteousness? Well, you say, well, I believe that means then I got to have the light before the blood comes. In other words, then you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost before you even get born again. You're crazy. First of all, you're justified by repentance, baptized in water. Then you're sanctified, then you're full of the Holy Ghost. What am I trying to tell you? That's when the Spirit begins to teach you. And we had in our last day a prophet teaching us. So if we're walking in the light, in other words, this is the only light we take and nothing else. This is our criterion. This is a critique. This is our guide. This is our lamp. This is our light. And we know nothing else except the prophet's message, which is the word of the living God for this hour, in language we can understand and apprehend if we only want to. And we believe what he said. And he brought the sin down. What about your conduct? What he said, if you're not out there in gross sin, he said, you can take it. In other words, and he brought that woman up. He said, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. So I mean, I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but it's, I sure ain't what I used to be. If you're in that category, brother, sister, you've got that struggle. There's none without a struggle. You just go ahead. Why? Because you're walking in the light. Not, it's not full walk. Now look, you can have full light and not a full walk. You can have full sunshine and full rain. If you haven't got a crop in, forget it. You ain't getting a thing. So full light has come upon the day. There's no more light to come as far as I know. The prophet said we got it all. Everything under those seven seals put us in a rapture. It's all there. So therefore, if you're in your heart seeking to please God, to love Him more, and to trust Him more. You say, Brother Vail, then why do I do these things? Well, let's put one way. You know something? I'll just make my little confession for you. Go back years and years ago. Why did I quit preaching? I'll tell you why I quit preaching. I couldn't trust God for finances. Yeah. That got so bad not trusting God, everything went down the drain. I couldn't pray for sick, I couldn't do anything. So the troubles got worse, I just quit preaching. I didn't intend to leave the preaching off entirely. I thought, well, when I go and teach this certain school in this certain area, well, I'll just use the schoolhouse, which I could have used, and I'll do a little preaching. Anybody comes, anybody can come. They don't come, fine. I'll preach to two or three. My wife will be there, and one couple of her relatives, no doubt, will come in once in a while. I'll preach. Well, somebody else at the schoolhouse. Well, I knocked my preaching out. When I couldn't preach for quite a long time, I'd get very careless and backslid. Now the day comes, I say, God, I got to meet the issue. This is the one thing I got to do. I have got to learn to trust you regardless if I die. Now, I was willing to go back preaching, and I did, and my wife kept on working. That was the most foolish thing of all to do. You should trust God right then and die. Well, I knew all the time underneath that it'd come a day when I'd have to trust God, or I'd blow it. So I began trusting him for the healing of the sick. I began trusting him for a lot of things. I began trusting him just for the money angle. I worked with men. I gave him all the money. I kept nothing for myself. My wife kept on working. We sold things that we had. We got rid of things even. But the day came when I knew I'd still have to go down that road and trust him, absolutely. Have to make a clean break and a clean swath. And I kept working on it and looking at it, looking at the day, looking at the day, looking at the day, looking at the day. Now, I'll tell you something. I wasn't working terribly hard on it. In the sense that, oh my, I was going to really force an issue. I was scared. But the day came and the issue came. I thank God that he took care of me. Now, you can be sitting here tonight. You've got your problems. And this is where you go negative. Look, take a good look at your problems and then lick them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that you are going to win every battle in his name. Now, look, he's not going to just take it away from you. I don't know if I can find the verse here or not. But then I might be able to find it for you. And it says here, there is no temptation or testing taken you, but is common to man. God is faithful, not suffering to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now what he tells you here is that oftentimes God does not simply remove something from you. But he always is there to give you the strength to go through with it. Now that's the biggest sin question of all, that unbelief bit. And people don't believe that they have the power to put their smoking down. They get critical and they say, well, now, Brother Bill, surely Brother Branham wouldn't let a person smoke. Well, that's true. They will if they're anxious to put it down. Well, see, do you believe God will do it? I don't know that God's going to do a thing for you except give you strength so you can quit yourself. Where do you find God takes anything away from you outside of the past sins through the remission of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ? He says, you put away this, you put away this, you put away malice, you put away this, put away your cigarettes. You put away your double dealings. Put away your desire to make little deals and cook up little schemes. Make a fast buck or this or that. I like some of you folks to face starvation for a little while. You see, here's where your trouble is. That's why you're negative. If you're negative tonight. You won't face issues. It's hard. I stand up here. I'm not cocky. I'm still facing issues. But thank God I faced some that changed my life. See? There's a lot of things I can't change. There's some things I can. That takes care of that thing about, can I come if I'm doing this, that? Listen, if you're fighting and depending on him, and you're crying for that inner strength, I wouldn't turn anybody away for 1 minute, and I wouldn't say, you should turn away, because you are testifying that Jesus died for your sins and shed his blood, and by the grace of God, though you are not what you should be, you are still not what you used to be. And one day, by the grace of God, if it takes the resurrection, you will be what you want to be, and it will take the resurrection. Because let me tell you, when you get over this hurdle this week, there's another hurdle right down the road. See? All right. That's been the big bugbear. But you line up on all the rest, don't you? So, yes, sir, Brother Bale, I believe it. All right, then. Let's take care of the sin question. Bible distinctly says... Confess your faults, not to each other. That's over in James. This is what you do to God. If you've got a problem tonight, by the grace of God, put it under the blood. And if you're kind of used to doing certain little things you shouldn't do, we're all in that category, I suppose, more or less, and nearly all of us, more than less. Let's be honest. The thing to do is begin to put that under the blood, too. In other words, cutting corners. Let all the corners be cut. All the little threads begin to go. Get rid of them. Begin working on them this moment. See, because you see, you're saying, Lord, I believe. I'm taking a step forward in faith. You see, because look, we want a church where that Spirit's going to come, that sweet Spirit is going to come. Listen, let me ask you a question to get this right. What wouldn't you give up tonight, gratefully give up and pay, if you knew that sweet Spirit could give me here no more? What would you give up? You say, Brother Vail, I'd give anything. What you're trying to tell me is that you've got a little place like I have reserved right down here in the heart that isn't entirely given over yet. What is it? Well, Brother Brand said, the things that get men is money, women are popularity. See, what is it? Well, I think that pretty well covers it all, because it started with women to begin with. Original sin started with sex in the Garden of Eden. Illicit. Yep. Ever since then, man's had the idea of Satan wants to make himself somebody. So, all right. I don't look for perfection. I've never desired perfection from anybody in the sense that, hey, I've got to be perfect, you've got to be perfect, because we're not going to be except in Him. But we're striving to keep on moving up. If you're striving tonight, brother, sister, as far as I'm concerned, you're absolutely free. And this church I am preaching to, not somebody else's church. Those preachers can do what they want. And if they've got a bunch of legalists who stay away from the table, thinking they are not condemned, let me tell you, they are just as condemned. Because sin is sin. And whether you come and compound it or not, you are not escaping one iota by not taking. So make up your mind. Which way are you going? If you're legal tonight, make up your mind. Which way are you going? Are you going to start coming clean for God, or aren't you going to come clean? See, I've got to preach this way because that's the only way I can preach after I deal with people out around the country. They are so gommed up, I don't know if they're coming and going, and they don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not coming around me anymore. I've had it. I've had it, because I, by the grace of God, brother, sister, look, I've got my problems. I told you what mine is my business, what yours is your business. That goes before God. But every one of us has those weak spots within us, and one goes every another, begin to pop its ugly head up. But you got to keep working by the grace of God. You got to keep putting on, knowing this, as you look to Him, He will give you strength to overcome. I fought tough battles, and by the grace of God, I believe you have too. All right, that takes care of us. So there we are. We're going as far as we will tonight. We got 5 points in here at this. There's 14 points. But that's enough for tonight. That gives you an idea. All right. Do you believe that you know the true servants of God? Start with William Branham. Go down the line. You correct it, but you watch it by the attitude. You watch it by the conduct. You watch it by the doctrine. You know the hour in which you're living. You know the difference between the appearing and the coming. You understand this. You know that it's already started, it's in progress, the ushering into the millennium has begun, all of these things right to the 8th day started to roll, and we've already started the transition until there is no stopping a bride that's going to be the new Jerusalem. You know the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You're not shaken, you're not fooled any longer, you're not given to sensation. You're not given to believing there's some experience out here that's going to qualify you. Brother, sister, let me tell you tonight, let's get this flat. I don't say I've come to any place of perfection, assurance of faith as Abraham, though in my heart I believe I have come to a degree of it. I have come to the place in a certain measure, and I'm looking for that to grow and grow. And that is, I don't care about one experience I've had, or you had, or anybody has, or I might have, or you might have. I'm not looking any further than this word. God said so. I am going to be there with Him because He said so. Well, you say, Brother Vail, I don't believe you will because I look at your life. You take a look at your own cotton picking life.
Amen.
Just give me a chance to be around you and see where you go. Yeah. Let me see you follow my trail and I'll follow yours and see where it is. And you know what we can do? We can simply devour each other and be a bunch of fools. Or we can begin to rejoice with the understanding. Look, I'm like Abraham. I'm standing there in that faith. I'm in the hour where God said the impossible would take place. And He said it to me, and I'm part of that impossibility. And you stand there. You got the faith of Abraham. The full assurance of faith. How can there be a full assurance of faith unless it's the hour of deliverance? Come on. What are you looking for? Something down the road? You still can't look at what's going on? Still looking back? Anybody looking back better go on back. Because you will go back. Why wait around here? Why bug me? You're not bugging me really, but you know what it is. You will eventually. Been to chiropractor enough now to get my neck adjusted. If you make more pains in my neck. I've had enough ill wills blow me tough luck without you blowing me tough luck. And let's face it, you've had enough ill winds without me blowing you any. You've had enough pain in the neck without me giving you any. What if I'm wrong? I don't believe I am by the grace of God. I can't prove it any, but I believe I am. You see, I'm trying to discern that body tonight, brother, sister. Discerning that body, I've got every right to what the death of Jesus Christ purchased on Calvary for me. See? And you know, by the grace of God, I'm going to look everything in the face. You know, there are times, brother, sister, you're a little scared to look in the face because you know, you're in a cross, but you're a little bit of a bind. You wonder, well, is this really right? Is this really wrong? Maybe I can sit in the middle, straddle the fence. It won't work. Get off the fence and look at one side at a time. You may find that it has only been the devil trying to fool you. On the other hand, you may find out God was slowly trying to bring you to a higher level. So there you are. That's what it's about tonight. Good enough? Maybe it's not. Remember, there's 9 more points for the next 2 foot washing minister. So let's rise at this time. Merciful God, we look to you tonight knowing that if everyone stood here in a perfection of his own, that we stood here like the kind old priest, that we stood here, Lord, and we had done everything perfect within ourselves, we know that it wouldn't work. But Lord, tonight we know one thing: where we failed you, we have not allowed you to give us strength to be overcomers, so that many of us do wallow in the remorse of our own minds and hearts, because we know that there's so many things we could do better and just are simply not doing better. And we've got so many excuses for them. We know that excuses don't hold. They will not cut. They won't work. And so, Lord, here we are, but we know that you have not condemned us. When the woman stood there, you raised her up and you said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she said, "No man can accuse me." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And Lord, tonight,